Former Nissan boss Carlos Ghosn breaks his silence more than 2 months after being arrested in Tokyo. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. In his first interview since being detained in November on financial misconduct charges, Mr. Ghosn said, quote, plot and treason by executives at the Japanese automaker led to his arrest. The BBC's Celia Hatton has more.
Speaking from a Tokyo detention center to Japan's Nikkei newspaper, the man who once headed three car companies, Carlos Ghosn, hit back against a mounting number of financial misconduct charges. Mr. Ghosn said that some in Nissan opposed his plan to integrate Renault, the French car company he headed, with its Japanese alliance partners, Nissan and Mitsubishi. They wanted to get rid of him, he said. The former alliance head denied any wrongdoing, including underreporting his salary and using Nissan's money to cover personal investment losses. He said those decisions had been signed off by colleagues at Nissan.
Celia Hatton there. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed ahead of a key rate decision in the U.S. today. The British pound, meanwhile, is rising after a fall last night against the euro. That's after Prime Minister Theresa May won backing from Parliament to renegotiate the U.K.'s Brexit agreement with the EU. Meanwhile, France's benchmark stock index is higher after fresh figures there show the economy grew more than expected in the fourth quarter. Brazilian mining company Vale has announced it will shut down 10 dams similar to the one that collapsed last week. The company's boss said the decommissioning process will cost more than $1 billion. The BBC's Natalia Passereno has more.
The impact of the accident has already been significant in Vale's stock prices, which fell by over 24% and meant the loss of 19 billion in market value for Brazil's biggest mining company. There has also been a class action lawsuit filed in the United States on behalf of those who purchased or acquired the securities of Vale.
Now, Vale's CEO said the accident, quote, radically changed our approach and that he wants to leave no doubt that the company's operations are absolutely safe. So what is the company doing to ensure that this doesn't happen again?
Well, the fact that remains is that this accident is happening only 3 years after a huge accident that occurred in Mariana and involved a dam that was administrated by Samarco, which is a company owned by Vale. So in very little time, we saw in Brazil two major accidents. Not much has been done to improve security in the operations.
So the town of Mariana, they still are very dependent on the mining industry. And even after a terrible disaster has occurred, they're not interested in seeing the industry completely go away.
Exactly. The whole state of Minas Gerais is very much dependent on mining. It is the most important industry. Much of the city near where the dam occurred was destroyed. But even after this tragic accident, the population there wants the mining company that was responsible for the accident to come back and operate again. It's not about ending the mining industry. Brazil is the second exporter in the world of steel. It's all about making it safer.
That's the BBC's Natalia Passereno. Now, the U.S. and China will restart trade talks today in Washington. The two sides called a truce late last year in Argentina on the sidelines of the G20 summit, but time for a resolution is running out. If they can't come to a compromise by March 1st, the U.S. has vowed to increase tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. There's already pain in China's auto industry, though, which saw demand fall for the first time in 20 years, as the BBC's Robin Brandt reports.
If you're selling Cadillacs in China, it helps that America's president is driven round in. As he took me gently around the roads near his dealership, Cao Qianyi told me his customers know that. They like the prestige and the quality. The price is good too, for them, but not for him anymore. Last year was a bad year for his car business.
The sales on every new vehicle is causing us to lose money. Basically, the more we sell, the more we lose.
Loss leaders are painful for any business. That pain comes after demand at this dealership plunged 30% last year. Just over 22 million new cars were sold in China last year, but that's a near 6% drop on the previous year. In a tiny hair salon in the heart of Shanghai, I sat down for a few hours. Retail sales here have slowed to a pace not seen for over a decade.
So my hair, basic, how much is
that?
Okay, 40. Now, the other problem for China as it faces this economic slowdown is people like the hair cutter in chief. Sun Qiang talked about the mounting healthcare costs that he's worried about. It's part of the reason that he, like many here, are traditionally still big savers.
I think some car dealers, they want to boost their sales, so they need such consumers who love pay by loans. But as a traditional Chinese, I think we should only buy stuff that we can afford.
China wants to move towards more of this stuff, domestic consumption, more car owning, of course, as well. But at the moment, that model has gone off the rails. Imports and exports last year are down on the previous year. And of course, demand for cars is down for the first time in two decades. There's no doubt the slowdown in China is here. This country's consumers, its car dealers, its haircutters know it. And so do China's leaders.
Robin Brandt reporting there from Shanghai. And finally, got any Beatles memorabilia sitting around? A new project is looking for never-before-seen photos of the Fab Four. It's all for a biography and picture archive to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the group's last live performance today in 1969. What's your best Beatles memory? Share it with us at the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.